A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 1 through 19. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the place of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "What is this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum of money and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared for the Passover. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's word today, we welcome Pastor Michael Van Baren, Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Spokane, Washington.
Timing is everything, or so they say. Honestly, that's my problem with telling a joke. There's an intuitive feel to placing the pregnant pause after just the right syllable, which makes all the difference between roars of laughter and the sad chuckle of courtesy. In the car, perfect timing is the difference between a quick commute or the endless stop and go that comes from hitting every red light. Timing is the pattern of the sun and the moon. It's the rhythm of music. It's the seasons of life. Timing is everything. Timing is everything in the sequence of Matthew 26, too. A quiet disposal might have been a mob uproar if it wasn't for the chief priests consulting each other on the timing of when to terminate Jesus. A beautiful anointing might have been a stern rebuke when the woman with the alabaster jar of expensive perfume spent it all at one time on Jesus' head. A calloused collection of 30 coins might have been a bounty hunter's bust for Judas if it hadn't been for the timing. Immediately we're tempted to think of our own human timing. And the text sets us up that way, because that's what the people in the text are thinking. Both the good guys, like the disciples, and the bad, like the chief priest or Judas. It starts with the chief priest. In verse 4 and 5, they plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar." You see, timing. Then the disciples are indignant with the woman and her frivolous waste of perfume, which at the time was fetching quite a sum on the market and could have benefited the poor. But Jesus said in verse 11, "The poor you will always have with you." You see, that can be done another time. Judas arrived at the door of the high priest asking the price he could fetch for betraying Jesus. And when they paid him, verse 16 tells us, Judas started watching for the opportune time. Like these folks, we're usually caught up in our own timing too. And not just when we're telling jokes or commuting to work. We plan the time of life for having children. We set the date of our retirement. When we're sick, we decide when we expect to be well. And when the timing doesn't work out our way, we gripe and groan and even bemoan God. We're content to be patient only if we know how long we have to wait. Yet in this passage, we'll see all these things come together because of the Lord's timing and no one else's. The chief priest couldn't have secured Jesus. His betrayal wouldn't have been worth anything to Judas. And even the perfume would have been better spent on the poor if it had not been for this little truth tucked in verse 18, almost at the end of our lesson. The teacher says, "My time is at hand." It was Jesus' time. His time to be betrayed. His time to be killed. His time to be buried. If we'd step out of the rhythm of our own timelines for a minute and realize we're a part of this, things take on a whole new perspective. James 4, verses 13 to 15 reminds us of the way we sinfully try to commandeer God's time. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You see, when the Lord Jesus commandeers our time, it finds fullness. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son so that we might receive the adoption as sons, Galatians 4, verse 4. That's what Jesus' time is all about, our adoption, our redemption, our salvation. That's all coming together in this text, like traffic lights set on green, from the preparing of the Passover to Jesus' death on the cross, from his burial anointing to his resurrection from the tomb. His timing is everything. And we know that when it comes to our salvation. In Romans 5, 6, Paul said, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But do we know that in the everyday aspects of our life, that his timing still is everything? That's why when I'm reeling and hurt from the ill-timed comments of a friend or coworker, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not ready to forgive them yet for that one, his timing is everything. It doesn't matter if I'm ready to forgive, because he is, so I will. That's why when I'm distraught over a career path and with which the breakthroughs to promotion don't seem to come, it doesn't matter where I think I need to be at this point. His timing is everything, so I'll serve where he's placed me. That's why when I'm exhausted from caring for a friend in need and I'm ready to give up, his timing is everything, so I'll continue to serve, holding on to the promise of Scripture that says, when I am weak, then I am strong, 2 Corinthians 12:10. Music is only beautiful when the musicians are keeping the same time. Comedians only funny when the audience waits instead of preempting the punchline. And our life is filled with joy and beauty when our time matches up with God's, when we settle into the comfort and grace of his time. Perhaps that's why in the Psalms, wait and trust are the same word. The psalmist says, I wait on the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope.
We thank Pastor Michael Von Baron for today's meditation on God's word.